This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. For the month of November, there's a lot of movies coming out in the box office, and joining me to sift through all this news is managing editor at Movies.com and contributing editor at Fandango, Eric Davis. Thanks for joining me, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I have to say, the trailer for Geostorm, it looked pretty good, but it didn't do well in the box office. Why do you think that was?
I think Geostorm felt like a movie that probably should have came out in like the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, when audiences were all into like the disaster porn movies. That's what the genre is called, is, you know, after movies like Independence Day and Armageddon, we sort of saw this influx of disaster movies, of cities being destroyed and, you know, all the buildings crashing down and historical landmarks being destroyed. And I think a lot of people sort of got tired of that genre. And this movie looked like another version of that. And I think, you know, Gerard Butler is an action star that I don't think they ever made really happen. And I think it just came out at a time when people weren't really ready for it or wanted to see it or felt like they may have seen that kind of movie already. And so I think that's why it didn't do as well.
I don't know. I think that would have been a good cheesy movie for like June, but not for this month, I think.
No, you know, and the guy who directed it was one of the two people who worked on Independence Day, and it feels like that. You know, it feels like one of those films that would have come out a decade ago, and I think audiences are keen to that. You know, when you have so much content now between the streaming services and what's in theaters, I think you really have to kind of sell audiences on a movie to go see it on the big screen, and I think that one just looked like something we had seen already, and that's why I think it didn't do as well. The horror genre, however, is doing really well right now, but I think the horror genre is having the best year ever at the box office.
You think so?
So make more, yeah, I believe it is. Between Get Out and It, the movie It that came out in September is just breaking all kinds of records, and so horror is having a record year right now.
It's funny. I've seen It about three times, and it was absolutely unintentional.
Really? Three times?
Yeah. Well, you know, I went with my one friend, and then I told my cousin, oh, I saw It. And he's like, oh, come see it with me. So I was like, okay. So I went and saw it again. And then we went and we talked to his mother, and she's like, well, now I want to see it.
Yeah, well, and that's what's great about that film, and I think that's why it's been doing so well, is because it's the kind of film that has all of these different elements, comedy, romance, scares, you know, that I think, you know, you don't have to be a big horror fan to want to see it. And so you have everybody from moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, you know, to kids who are just going out to see this film. And that's sort of what I love about movies that really take off, is that sort of all of these audiences that may typically not watch movies in a specific genre are going to see the movie just because everyone they know is talking about it. And that's really great. I really like it when movies take off like that.
Recently, it was announced that there's going to be like a X-23 spinoff. And not many people out there are going to know who is X-23, but it's actually a character, a female character that's part of the Marvel Universe. And it's going to be like a spinoff of Wolverine. One of the things we were just talking about is selling things to audiences. I don't know. Do you think this movie's going to do well? I mean, that's kind of an obscure character.
Yeah, well, we have to see. You know, and X-23, there was a film earlier this year called Logan, which was sort of Hugh Jackman's final performance as Wolverine, or at least that's how they've billed it. And in that film is a little girl, Laura, who is sort of like a spawn of Wolverine. And it has the claws, and it's kind of like a female version. And in the comics, Laura, a.k.a. X-23, becomes Wolverine, becomes the new Wolverine, and assumes that mantle. So, I mean, there's a couple of things. First of all, that film is in the very, very early stage. They're still writing it, and so I don't think they've found it yet. And I think movies like Wonder Woman have really convinced them to kind of move full steam ahead on an X-23 23 movie. They also need to replace Wolverine. Wolverine is like the most popular character on the big screen in the X-Men universe. And, you know, now you have other characters like Deadpool and stuff that are also popular, but, you know, they need to bring Wolverine back in some way. And I think that to bring Wolverine back as a woman, as X-23, I think is smart, and I think creates a different dynamic and creates a movie that we haven't seen before. So I do think it's a good idea. I think they should probably age her up a little bit, so we'll see more of a teenage X-23. I don't know if the same actress will portray her. Maybe they'll get, like, somebody else, a teenager, to portray her. But I do think it's a smart idea, and I'm curious to see. And the same director who did Logan is apparently involved in writing the script, and I really like what he did with Logan. So we could see that. I would say it's not coming out in 2018. Maybe 2019. Likely 2020.
A couple years off.
Yeah, a couple years off.
You know, I hope they kind of explain the X-Men universe, because I get so confused. They destroyed it. They brought it back. Something is canon. Some things aren't. I'm hoping answers. I'll get answers later on, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're not the only one that's confused by the X-Men universe. You know, that you have all of these. You have the mainline X-Men films, which the last one was, I think, X-Men Apocalypse, and there's a new one, X-Men Dark Phoenix, coming out. There's a New Mutants series that's beginning next year. That's they're going to do like a horror movie, which I'm really curious to see with that one. So they have New Mutants, and then they have Deadpool. And Deadpool is kind of the R-rated version, Deadpool and X-Force, and so they have that corner as well. So the X-Men kind of movie universe right now has divided itself into three parts. Those are the three parts. Deadpool 2 is coming next year. New Mutants is coming next year. And X-Men Dark Phoenix is coming next year. So all three parts of the X-Men movie universe will be delivering movies next year. And so we'll see where they go from there.
You know, for any, I think, a production company that has some kind of Marvel, you know, franchise they have, they try to do some kind of continuity. And I kind of expect that out of DC. And Will Smith, I think he was the one who was playing Deathstroke in Suicide Squad. And now there's going to be a Deathstroke movie and he's not going to be in it. I mean, why is that?
Well, I do need to correct you a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
Will Smith was playing a character named Deadshot.
Oh, Deadshot.
Yes, he's Deadshot, and there's Deathstroke. I know. When you get into DC characters, how many of them have the word
death
in the titles? It gets confusing. But yes, Will Smith was playing a guy named Deadshot, who also a Batman villain like Deathstroke, and he's still playing Deadshot. I imagine he'll be in the Suicide Squad sequel, which they'll be shooting soon. And so Will Smith, still very much a part of the DC universe as that character, Deadshot. Deathstroke, however, is another character, another Batman villain, and he's apparently going to get his own movie with, and I always mess up this guy's name, Joe Manganiello. I think that's how you say it. He is going to be playing Deathstroke, and the guy who did The Raid, Gareth Evans, really cool director, does great action scenes. He's going to be directing it. I have a feeling it's going to be R-rated, and I don't think it's going to have anything to do with the DCEU movies that are happening now, so like the Batman vs. Superman, the upcoming Justice League. I don't even know if Batman will be in the Deathstroke movie, and if he is, I don't even know if he'll be played by Ben Affleck. I think they're going to keep those movies separate from this movie. Similar to Fox, what we just talked about with the X-Men films, how they're kind of splintering off into these three segments, the DC movies are doing something different. They have their own continuity going with Justice League and Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad, and then they're introducing this other line of movies that are a bit darker, a bit grittier. There's a Joker origin story in there somewhere, and there is this Deathstroke movie. I think what they're setting up to do, like Fox's, is they're going to do some R-rated DC movies. They haven't really come out and said that yet, but I think Deathstroke will be rated R. I think the new Joker movie will be rated R, and they're going to kind of test that out and see how that does. I think the DC audience wants R-rated material from that, and that's something that Marvel Studios, at least, won't do. They won't make an R-rated movie. Fox will make one with Deadpool, but Marvel Studios, you know, the folks that do the Avengers and Thor Ragnarok and Black Panther, they won't do an R-rated movie, at least not now. So that's an opportunity for DC, I think, to dive in and take some risks.
I am so happy because I was getting all flustered, like, oh my God, they're going to, they changed the guy for no reason. They should have kept it. I'm kind of happy now that I was really.
Yes, I know how those names, you know, when you get into comic character names, there are thousands of them. And, you know, there are a lot of them that sound exactly the same. And so, yes, and I do think that somebody needs to do one of those kind of pieces, like, look, Deadshot is not Deathstroke. They're two different characters.
You know, I'm glad you talked about the Joker origin. Do you have any other information about it? Because wasn't Martin Scorsese supposed to direct it, or they teased it?
They teased him being involved as a producer, but he is not going to direct it. So we don't know much about that yet. It's still kind of, I think, Todd Phillips, the guy who did the Hangover movies, I think he was being mentioned as a director. So I think that's still very on the early goings yet. And I do also think that a lot rests on this Justice League movie. I think DC is waiting to see how Justice League fares with the audience before they make any other really big decisions. And so they're prepping some other projects. They have some scripts being written, but nothing is really full force. There's an Aquaman movie that's already done, that's already finished production. And I believe they're going into production on a Flash movie, but that's it for now. And so I think they're kind of holding back and seeing how audiences respond to Justice League. So it tells them, okay, how much more do we want to invest in this version of our continuity? Do we want to scrap this and go and do something else completely? I mean, no matter what, they are going to continue making DC movies. It's just which DC movies will they be making? I think it's not set in stone just yet.
You know, I'm kind of glad you're talking about things not set in stone, because Kevin Spacey's House of Cards season 6 has been suspended. His Netflix movie Gore, that's gone. A bunch of Harvey Weinstein productions, like they've did poorly. I think it was Amityville: The Awakening. They only made $742. And, you know, there's also with Ben Affleck, and I forgot the name of the actor who played Aquaman. He made some unsavory comments. And with all this stuff that's happening, and it is affecting, you know, movies, what can we expect in the future? I mean, like, who knows what's going to happen in 6 months, right? I mean, would we even have many movies left?
Yeah, I think every day is a new day, you know, and I think as these stories kind of unfold, you know, yeah, we're going to see sort of projects go away and different people cast in different roles, you know. And so I think the most important thing is that sort of the victims are getting their stories out there. And I think it's more about them than I think it is, at least in my opinion, that it is about what movie or TV show is or isn't getting made. And so I think in due time, you know, things will come out and projects will kind of take the course that they take. But, you know, I think in a lot of cases, too, it's going to be up to the audience to make up their own mind and to support the people that they want to support or that they feel like they should support.
You know, you're right about that. You know, I talked about this with someone else. I have my own band list where I don't see movies by certain actresses, directors, or part of production companies, and just because I'm, you know, I hold grudges for no reason. But yeah, it looks like other people too have the same, or like some kind of ban list of their own.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's up to the individual. I make no excuses. I'm a big Tom Cruise fan, and I always tell people, you know, I love Tom Cruise. You know, I separate him from his personal life. I really enjoy his movies. I really feel like he gives you 110% of him as an actor, and he gives you your money's worth. But I've had a lot of people say, I won't go see a Tom Cruise movie because of Scientology or whatever. But, you know, that everybody has their own sort of belief system, and in no way are they faulted for that. And so, you know, you have to do what's best for you and what you believe in. And so, you know, that's what's great. Everybody can make up their own opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to, especially when a lot of good movies are coming out. One of the movies that are coming out in November is Bad Mom's Christmas. And I thought that looks really funny, but I'm sure some people out there may not want to see it. It looks kind of corny too, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm a fan of the Bad Moms movies. I think, you know, there are women in my neighborhood who are, like, renting out theaters and all going together to see the film. And, you know, so movies like that I like. You know, I think for a lot of moms out there, the Bad Moms series is sort of like stress relievers. You know, they sort of kind of pinpoint, yeah, that's what I hate about Christmas, too. I don't like that either. You know, and it's just kind of like fun, you know, let your hair down. You know, stress relief, party, have a good time with your girlfriends. That's the kind of movie it is. That's the kind of franchise that they're shaping right now. And so, you know, look, the story isn't going to be phenomenal. I mean, they turned around the sequel really fast. It's probably going to have a lot of similarities to the original movie. But I think that if you're looking to go out and have a few glasses of wine and have a nice night with your girlfriends, I think this is the movie to go see, in my opinion.
You know, I saw another movie that's coming out called Bad Grandmas, and that looks really funny, too. But is that part of the Bad Mom series or no?
You know, it might be. Actually, I'm not even sure. I know that Bad Mom's Christmas does tease a Bad Grandmas, but no, this is not. This is a completely different kind of movie. It's not part of the same series. But
okay.
Yeah, there is a Bad Grandmas movie coming out with, like, Pam Grier. Florence Henderson is in it, but it's not related to Bad Moms.
Yeah, it looks like a dark comedy, and I was just getting a kick out of it. In one of the previews, I think it was Florence Henderson, she was like smoking a joint, and I was like, what is this? That was funny. And people.
Yeah. You look at the popularity of something like Bad Moms, and it's not going to surprise me that other studios, other people are going to try to take advantage of the sort of quote-unquote bad series and make a number of different kinds of bad iterations. And so while Bad Mom's Christmas definitely does make you want to see a Bad Grandma's movie, that Bad Mom's Grandma's movie that's coming out is not related to the Bad Moms.
Okay, good. Well, I was just curious because that is kind of how convenient, right?
It is. It is. Well, that's how they timed them out perfectly so they could say, hey, you know, come check out Bad Grandmas if you like Bad Mom's Christmas. Because, you know, a general audience they don't know. They just figure, oh, they're all related, you know, but they are not.
Besides those two, are there any other movies in November that we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You have I think November for me is a huge month because you have two giant superhero movies opening up 2 weeks apart. Speaking of superheroes and Marvel in DC, you have Thor Ragnarok, which is coming out November 3rd, and then you have Justice League, which is coming out November 17th. So it's rare that a giant Marvel movie and a DC movie open only 2 weeks apart from one another. And both are very different movies, but both are fun and enjoyable and worth seeing if you're a fan of those superheroes, especially Thor Ragnarok. I had such a good time with that. It was really silly and a fun time. So definitely see Thor. And then towards the tail end of November, we have a Pixar movie called Coco that I'm really, really intrigued by. Early buzz on it is really positive. People really like it. And it's an interesting sort of film. It's going to be Pixar's most musical-driven film to date. There's a lot of music in the movie. And it's about a boy who kind of is an aspiring musician. He lives in Mexico. He's from a Mexican family. And then he travels to the world of the dead in order to sort of find out why his family doesn't like music. It's about family. It's about tradition. It's sort of like if you remember Inside Out, where they kind of go to a whole new world of emotions. It's sort of like that with the world of the dead. So just a really colorful and interesting, inventive choice, original movie from Pixar. And so those three movies, I think in particular, I'm really looking forward to.
You know, I looked at Coco. I know my nephew wants to go see that. I don't know if I'll take him, though. It reminds me, what was that other one where it was like, they went to, it wasn't done by Pixar, but it had the same thing, like it was like a little beetle thing. I don't know. Anyways, I'm not looking forward to Coco too much only because it feels like it was already done before and I can't think of the movie.
I don't know. I say whenever Pixar makes an original movie, I think it's worth going to see because, you know, Pixar, they kind of dabble between their sequels, and like we had Cars 3 was the other Pixar movie this year, and they have been doing a lot of sequels of late. And so when they do an original movie, you know, yes, Inside Out was better than The Good Dinosaur, but I still feel like they're worth seeing because they're the storytellers at Pixar, even if it feels a little derivative based on a trailer, I feel like the storytellers at Pixar are just so good at what they do. And you know it's visually it's going to be beautiful. And I'm curious to see what Pixar does when they add more music to their movies. You know, I think we're starting to see now after Frozen and Moana, you know, Disney Animation is kind of coming back to life with their musical movies again, like they did in the 90s. And so now, you know, it's rubbing off on Pixar. And how is it going to rub off on Pixar? And what are those movies going to look like? I think Coco is our first look at that. And that's why I want to see it.
Well, thank you so much, Eric, for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find you at?
You can find me writing. I do some stuff at Fandango, and you can always find me on Twitter at Eric Davis, E-R-I-K-D-A-V-I-S, and you can follow me daily with all of my movies going on.
This has been The Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.